You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. That rooster crow must mean one thing. It's 8 o'clock. It's Saturday morning, and you are tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 30 years. Funny saying that. 30 years. And here we are, fourth Saturday of the month. What does that mean? It means the first Saturday of the month, an 8 o'clock hour, we have the Farm Bureau in. Second Saturday, we're talking trees with Integrity Tree Service. Third Saturday, it's Notes from the Nursery with Jay Harper. Fourth Saturday, urban farming, Mr. Greg Peterson.
Woohoo!
Farmer Greg.
Thank you for having me.
I don't want to spend a lot of time looking backwards. We're always moving forward, but I got to know how the Great American Seed Up.
Oh my gosh, the GreatAmericanSeedUp.org. That is an amazing, amazing event. We had almost 1,000 people come through it and scoop seeds. But also, it's an education event. We give classes throughout the day, teach people how to save seeds, how to start seeds, how to store seeds, and then you can stock up on literally a lifetime's worth of seeds. So it was a fantastic event.
And your guest that you had last Saturday with you from the Rocky Mountain Seed. Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance.
Yep.
Yes.
Bill McDorman.
He's last Saturday, but our Saturday last month.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill McDorman.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a rock star. He gets, you know, I bring him in on the podcast once a month and we chat seeds. It's really cool.
I asked him a number of questions in that interview I didn't think he would have an answer for, not trying to stump him, but just trying to get perspective into people's mind about the volume we were talking about and just how many seeds in each scoop. And he's like, oh, about this much and oh, about that much. And pretty cool. I mean, he had...
He has the answers. Well, he's been doing seeds for over 40 years.
1,000 people times, let's say the average person bought 100 seeds, you know, a couple scoops. I mean, there's probably more than that.
Oh, yeah, more
than that. We're just using easy round numbers. 1,000 people, 100 seeds. If just 10% of those implanted and germinated, you're probably talking 1 million pounds of produce.
Oh, probably.
The numbers are mind-blowing when you look at what this event, the end results of what this event could create. And that's just what's grown. If anybody takes those seeds, takes the produce from those seeds, and
saves the seeds. Yeah, exactly.
How fast it all multiplies from there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When we all already have our 2019 dates on the calendar for the Great American Seed Up.
I need it because y'all do a Friday night, and for guys that work Saturday mornings,
exactly,
that's very accommodating.
Exactly. It looks like Friday, September 27th, and Saturday, September 28th. Those are our days for the Great American Seed Up.
Wonderful, and that falls in line with our fourth Saturday of the month.
It does.
We'll be live at the Great American Seed Up in 2019.
Gotta love it.
All right, now for today, what element of urban farming are we covering?
So we're talking about fruit trees, urban orcharding, growing your own fruit tree. I'll tell you what, when I grow a peach at my urban farm, I can't buy peaches anywhere else anymore. It is the most amazingly delicious piece of fruit when you pick a peach off of your own tree and it's just ripe. And you know, you bite into it and it splashes down your chest because it's so juicy. So we're talking about urban orcharding and what that means and why.
And on the urban farm,
mm-hmm.
a third of an acre property?
Third of an acre. It's 80 feet wide and 160 feet deep. And I have somewhere around 75 fruit trees on the property.
175?
75 fruit
175
trees.
175 on 80 feet wide and
160 feet deep.
160
feet
deep.
And that's 75 fruit trees. You keep bumping it up to 175. I'd love to have 175 fruit trees.
75 fruit trees. Sorry. Yeah. I'm writing this all down. Fruit trees. I'm drawing a little map here. What types?
Kind of fruit trees? Well, citrus, of course. You know, citrus does really well here. And we don't just have the standard yellow grapefruit and squeezing orange. There are Trevita oranges, which is an amazing peeling and squeezing orange. There's two different kinds of navels. We have gold nugget mandarins. We have Mineola tangelos. There's limes. We've got lemons. There is a plethora of amazing citrus that grows really well here. So for starters.
And for the Arizona climate, below the rim, desert floor, Phoenix metro area, you could almost have a different citrus harvest year-round. There's a couple little voids here and there, but not long ones.
Right, right. There's absolutely citrus that will ripen year-round. I haven't quite gotten there yet. I get about 6 months a year of citrus, 7 months a year of citrus. So it's still part of the game. My goal eventually at the Urban Farm, by the way, I've lived there for 29 years, is to have fruit harvested all year round. The hardest part is mid-July through mid-October.
Mm-hmm. Understandably.
It's just too dang hot. So then there's the deciduous fruit. So the apples, there's two varieties of apples that do really well here, the Anna and the Dorset Golden. I wouldn't plant any other kind unless you want to experiment. And they do really, really well here. They ripen in June, and they are very prolific. There's about a dozen different kinds of peaches that do really well here. My favorite one is the Desert Gold Peach, and it ripens about mid-May. So it, you know, and it makes some, it's incredibly prolific, and it makes some incredible peaches. There's a couple of apricots, the Katy and the Gold-Kissed Apricot, that do really well here, and about a half a dozen plums. So those are the deciduous fruits. And then, you know, then you have your figs and your pomegranates that do really well here as well.
And when you're talking about the two types of apples that you had, your Golden Dorset and Anna apple, mm-hmm. and you could plant others to experiment. Experimenting is always fun, always something new. I have seven apple trees.
Seven different varieties?
Well, that's how I started.
Yeah?
They're all Annas now.
Oh. You mean you thought they were Anna? You thought they were different and they all turned out to be Annas?
No, all the other ones didn't work. Oh, so right. I ended up replacing it with what there did work and go. It was the Annas.
There you go. So here's the thing. Let's talk about experimenting with fruit. It's not just about the cost of the tree. You know, and the cost of the tree can be anywhere from $40 to hundreds of dollars, depending on what kind of tree you're buying. It's the cost of planting. It's the cost of fertilizing. It's the cost of wishing the tree into production. And it's the cost of time. So my fruit tree program, it's called the Urban Farm Fruit Tree Education Program, is designed to bring the idea of really growing fruit trees in your yard. And I teach people how to do it. I give classes called Three Ways to Kill Your Fruit Trees, So You Want to Grow a Fruit Tree. I've been planting fruit trees here since 1974. And I've discovered, even this year, I've discovered new things about growing fruit trees. And it's for the experimenting part. If you want to experiment, remember, there's a huge cost involved. Not just the cost of the tree. And for me, the biggest cost is time. Because, you know, if you plant a fruit tree and it never makes any fruit and you take it out 5 years later, you just lost 5 years. So all of the trees that we bring in through the Urban Farm Fruit Tree Program, because we do education this time of year, and people can pre-order their trees, and then the trees come in January and February, and then they plant them. So that's the way my program works. That's the way I've found works best for planting. We've had great success. So the trees that we're bringing in, I've proven over and over and over and over again that they're successful. So I'm a fan of experimenting, but know up front, there's a huge cost in experimenting. Be careful with it.
Last week when Jay was in and we talked a little bit about tree planting, just because this is such a great time to plant.
Well, I'm going to take issue with that, but go ahead.
Well, I know exactly where you're going. So we're talking a lot. That conversation was gardening, you know, mm-hmm. when you're getting your roots. What was it?
Everything
root vegetables. You can eat the root, the stem, or the leaf of,
yep.
you know, goes in right now.
Yep, exactly.
So it's a great time for planting. We talked about trees. And if you're going to do like an evergreen, that would make sense. But for January, planting something that's dormant on a rootstock, mm-hmm. if we planted it now, it might start to grow just in time to start to go into dormant in its first season, and I could see it being a much better strategy planting that bare root
in January.
In January,
absolutely.
When it's perfectly dormant.
Absolutely. The other thing is that all of the deciduous trees come in at the same time here in town. We get them, all the nurseries get them in from the growers in January, and we get them as bare root, which means there's no dirt around the roots, and then we plant them from there. So a deciduous tree this time of year has been in a pot for 10 months. It sat through the summer in a pot. You don't really know how healthy it is. I saw some at a nursery in the last week that were in pots, and they looked terrible. You know, it's not the kind of tree I would be buying and planting. And so the way we bring trees in, we plant deciduous trees in January. They come in bare root. They're dormant when they're harvested in California, and they're brought here on a truck, and then we heal them in mulch, and you come and get them and plant them. Best time. That way, they're when you plant them in the ground, they're breaking dormancy where they're going to live the rest of their life.
Now, experimenting, you've got on here avocados and tropics. Have you had any successful experimenting with those?
Tropicals, yes. In fact, I picked some papayas today. I've actually eaten papayas and guavas off of my trees. I've got two mangoes that we're going to see about. I've not heard of anybody growing mangoes here, but we'll see. And of the three avocados that I planted, two of them are dead. One of them struggling. So I'm not a great big fan of avocados for here. No, they're highly experimental.
Highly experimental. And I know the big planter out in California, Dave Wilson, the big grower, they've got one that they're trying to, they've got a rootstock that they feel they're going to have a better success than they ever have in the desert Southwest.
With avocados?
Mm-hmm. And
haven't heard that.
I know that if it takes off, that will be very popular because we get asked about that all the time. And just know this out there, if you're trying to get avocado plant grown in Arizona, if there's a planter that could have one successfully do it, they would, because they can see they're going to make some money when they can finally get one grafted for the desert Southwest. It's Rosie on the House here with Farmer Greg.